Hi guys, I don't normally run ads on this show, but this is the family business, luggagewarehouse.co.za. My dad, my brother, my stepbrother, my uncle have all worked for Luggage Warehouse directly, and I've done freelance brand strategy for them for years now. So it supports the whole family, it supports this show indirectly. So if you're looking for luggage, accessories, handbags and fashion stuff, even you can go to luggagewarehouse.co.za. And there are two products that I want to pull out for you here. Number one being Builder Set, which allows you to create your own combination of large, small, medium, check-in, hand luggage, all that stuff. And it gives you a discount for each additional bag you buy, up to a certain limit, I think. But you can get great discounts on big collections of big luggage. So if you're thinking of immigrating, it's the perfect way to kind of gear up for that. And the second thing I want to pull out is Luggage Glove, which is a protective sleeve that my dad invented. My brother has kind of perfected over the years. It's a thick 3D fabric mesh sleeve that pulls over your luggage and then locks closed. It's got a TSA lock. It's got holes for the handles, so it's quite convenient. It's not like single-use plastic wraps because you don't have to cut open a hole in the plastic to use the handle. You can take it off easily. It's got a combination lock, and it's much more sustainable because you're not just murdering turtles with single-use plastic. But it makes the bag much more difficult to get into, and it protects it from bumps and scrapes. And if you are emigrating, then those are two important things, because you might be carrying actual valuables in your check-in luggage, and because they're going to be heavy and you might be going a long distance, they can pick up some major damage. So Luggage Gloves do a great job of protecting your luggage in the long term. That's it for my pitch. Luggagewarehouse.co.za. There's a link in the show notes. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to South African Expats, the podcast for South Africans who are immigration curious and looking at their options. Today, we're talking to an expert in citizenship by investment, the golden ticket, if you will, the golden visa. And I think most South Africans know about, for example, Portugal's a very well-known program, but there are programs around the world where you can essentially buy your way into a country and you can buy citizenship or residency with an investment, be it in a property or a business or in some way in the country. At least that's my understanding of it. I'm very much an amateur in this world, but I'm talking to a professional today, Amanda Smith from Henley & Partners. As far as I can tell, is a massive player in the world of citizenship by investment. They've been around for more than 25 years. They cover many countries, and every year they release a report that basically breaks down the advantages, the disadvantages, the costs, the efficiency, the time required to get citizenship by investment. And Amanda's here just to answer a few questions for me and hopefully the rest of you as well, just to clear up how citizenship by investment works and what the best options are depending on your situation. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us.
Jonathan, thank you very much. Pleasure to join you, and thank you very much for the kind introduction.
So Amanda, can you tell me a little bit about Henley & Partners and what you do there?
Yes, certainly. So Henley & Partners is a global organization. We are the pioneers in the investment migration industry and also the leader in residency and citizenship by investment planning. We have approximately 35 offices worldwide at the moment, and we specialize in advising private clients and their families and their advisors in terms of what the best program would be in order for them to achieve their objectives. And obviously, we do assist the clients through the entire process from A to Z. So we do offer a very comprehensive service. And then as part of our organization, we also have a government advisory team who advises governments worldwide in terms of how to set up their programs. We help them to redesign, launch, and market the programs for them as well.
I see. Wow. So it's really a very thorough process, including, does that include giving advice on which countries might be a fit culturally or for your family or business-wise for you?
Yes, absolutely. So we completely work on a consultation process. So we would meet ideally with a client and their families to, first of all, understand their family structure, taking into consideration the ages of the children, you know, are they looking to absolutely relocate? Are they looking to just have a plan B in place for the time being? Perhaps it might be more for educational planning for their children for future. So we do look at cultural things. We look at all the objectives a client might have in order for them to ultimately achieve their goal. And based on that information, we will then sit with the client and advise them on the best program. So we really strategize this plan for them, And then, of course, we help them throughout the entire process in order to achieve their alternative residency or citizenship.
Okay, so you're generally working with clients who don't have an ancestral visa or passport. Their only real option besides perhaps getting employment in the country is to invest.
That's correct, yes.
And the phrase you use is investment migration.
Yes.
Is a plan B something that you simply investigate the possibilities and you come to a conclusion that, yes, this could work? Or do you go through a further process where you actually, you've done paperwork and you've done some of the process and then you just have to pull the trigger?
Yes, when we speak about having a plan B, it really is, there are so many of the citizenship and residency by investment programs that have been designed in such a way that it gives the applicant, let's say, a second citizenship or maybe an alternative place of residency where they have the full right to reside permanently. However, the actual stay requirement in that country might be zero or very minimal. So we have a lot of wealthy clients, especially from South Africa. They've got businesses that they're still running. They have a lot of assets still in South Africa. And for them, really, it is important to have a plan B, what they also refer to as an insurance policy in place, meaning that they have already applied for and have already obtained a second citizenship, let's say somewhere in Europe, but they're still conducting their business. Their children are still going to school in South Africa, but they already have that in place so that, let's say, when Armageddon comes or when the time is right for the children to study maybe in Europe, they already have that second citizenship in place. So it's almost like an insurance future policy that they have already in place, but they're not ready to obtain residency or citizenship, pack up and sell everything that they own and physically immigrate from South Africa.
Planning for that plan B shortens the timeline between making the decision to go and going massively, I imagine.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So speaking to Europe then, which I think that a lot of South Africans, when they think of immigrating, obviously the UK is probably the most popular destination. That's usually an ancestral passport thing. When it comes to investment, Portugal is what pops up into my mind. And there are lots of programs throughout Europe, but there are lots of non-obvious options as well. I see on your website countries like Malta, I think I saw Ecuador, Montenegro, St. Lucia, Grenada. Do you have a recommendation, or not a recommendation necessarily, it's too early for that, but can you explain how the world is much wider than what we imagine?
Yes, many residency and citizenship by investment programs. Helian Partners currently work with approximately 35 various programs, and you need to understand what the client would like to achieve. Portugal has been and is a very popular residency program. I'm saying residency because it's not a straight to citizenship option, but it is, from an investment threshold point of view, a very affordable program. It does give the holder a lot of rights, including visa-free travel in the Schengen area, all the rights to work, study, live in Portugal. And then obviously after you've been a holder of that residency permit for 5 years, the holder becomes eligible to then apply for citizenship. But as you've rightfully said, there are a variety of other programs that are equally good, but ultimately would be determined on whether it is a good fit for the client once we understand what it is that they want to achieve. Now, if we say that Portugal is a residency program, then there are many clients who are looking to have a European Union citizenship, meaning that the holder of an EU passport have the right to reside, live, work, study in any one of the current 27 European Union countries. So it comes with a lot of benefits, not only visa-free travel, but actually the right of establishment. And then there are many other programs in the Caribbean, for example, which is a straight to citizenship application. And it really does give the holder of such a passport a lot of mobility and not having to deal with the limiting travel restrictions when you only have a South African green passport.
Portugal then is not just a golden key to Portugal, it's a key to all of Europe essentially. Is it still the best? And I know there are a lot of different metrics to measure these things, but is it the most efficient way into Europe?
I wouldn't say it's the most efficient way, but it is definitely the most popular and most efficient way to obtain a residency in Europe, in a country that is extremely safe, beautiful, fantastic climate, very centrally located. So from that point of view, yes, Portugal definitely is still the top residency destination in Europe.
I have heard that recently they've changed the rules somewhat so that previously everyone was buying property on coastal regions. And now I believe the government has started saying that you can only buy inland because it's getting a little bit crowded on the coast. Is that true?
That is true, unfortunately. And it also came into effect from the 1st of January this year. So in the past, an investor could purchase a property literally anywhere in Portugal. It could have been a residential, commercial property, or even vacant land, as long as it met the minimum financial requirement. But as of January this year, an investor are no longer permitted to purchase a property in Lisbon or anywhere along the coastal side if it's a residential property. However, commercial properties can still be invested into if it's in Lisbon or along the coast. And obviously, from an investment point of view, your best investments in real estate would be either in the Algarve or Porto or Cascais or Lisbon itself, where you're going to have the highest rental return and obviously the highest yield when you are looking to resell that property somewhere down the line in the future. Mm-hmm. But there are a number of projects at the moment where clients can still invest either in Lisbon, the Algarve, or Porto, or along the coast if it is classified as commercial. Now, when I'm saying commercial, we're not just talking about office blocks. There are hotel developments, for example, or resorts where clients can purchase their own unit within that resort in those areas because it is classified as commercial and not residential.
And if you have the financial resources, you can, you know, either buy a commercial property or you can move somewhere, you can buy somewhere inland, but then once you have that ticket, you can buy property anywhere you like.
Absolutely. Yes. Then you have got absolutely no restrictions.
I see. And how far inland do you have to be before you're not on the coastline? Is there a metric for that?
There is a map. It is a very complicated map, and obviously it divides all the different regions and municipalities in Portugal. There are so many other criteria that one needs to consider as well. You've got the 500,000 euro minimum, for example, for property purchase. But then if the property is located in a less densely populated area, it gets reduced by 20%. Then you get renovation projects. So it really is a very interactive and a very comprehensive map. So it's really difficult for me to say exactly what the perimeters are, but for sure it's inland or in Madeira where you can purchase and nowhere else.
I see. When it comes to the investment, that figure of 500,000 euros, obviously a large number for most South Africans, especially since that's not the only cost you're going to have. You're also going to have relocation costs, education, all the kinds of things. Is there a way to finance that, or is that simply you have to deposit this cash amount? Can you get a loan for this kind of thing?
All of the investment requirements needs to be done, I wouldn't say in cash, but obviously you need to have the funds, and the source of that funds obviously needs to be declared as well. So for Portugal, for example, it is a requirement that the applicant must open a personal bank account in Portugal. They need to apply for a tax identification number, and they are then required, let's say the property purchase price is 350,000 euros, because obviously there are various categories within which you can invest. It's not to say that it must be 500,000. The applicant then transfers that full amount from an account they already have in their personal name, either in South Africa or offshore, into their personal bank account in Portugal, from where they will then pay the seller. Another example is that, let's say, for example, you purchase a property for the value of 800,000 euros. Then the 500,000 needs to be paid, and you can maybe get a mortgage on the remaining balance.
I see.
But in most cases, it's always cash Yes.
And will a bank here give you a loan to make that?
No, they won't. But we also have a lot of clients who have taken out a mortgage on their South African properties and transferred the funds that they've obtained to Portugal, for example. So they can bond an existing property, but not one to be purchased in Portugal, no.
Sure. I imagine even at 350,000 euros, if you're not buying on the seashore or in Lisbon, that must go quite a long way in terms of properties that you would get for that much money. They must be quite impressive properties.
Yes. So the when you look at buying properties at the price range of either 280,000 euros or 350,000 euros, it's a very special niche product because the minimum purchase requirement is 500,000 euros. But if that property is located in a less densely classified area, it's 400,000. Mm-hmm. If it is a property that has been purchased and are being developed for renovation purposes, then it qualifies for a 350,000 purchase price. And if that 350,000 renovation project is also in a less densely populated area, it gets reduced by a further 20%, meaning that the investor can purchase at 280,000. Now, these are not freestanding properties. It is a special project whereby a developer be developing a golf resort, for example, in Porto, and the investor will purchase either shares within units or purchase a freehold full title deed unit in that development. And then obviously it comes with rental guarantees, comes with guaranteed buybacks. So it's still a very good investment opportunity for an investor in order to have a fixed asset real estate investment that will give them a return, but at the same time, they will obtain all the residency benefit rights that comes with the Portugal Golden Visa.
Okay, I've seen something similar in Mauritius where you don't just go on their equivalent of Gumtree and look for a house. There are specific developments that you buy into.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, which is an important point because that's definitely where I was coming from at the beginning of this conversation, was that you just look on the property 24 in Portugal and you find a house. So it doesn't work like that. It's great to know.
You can do it that way. Obviously, that's also allowed. You just need to make sure that when you are looking for a property on the website that you definitely consult with a firm like Indian Partners so that we can predetermine whether that property will actually, if it's, first of all, located in the right area that still qualifies, and also it's at the right price that will qualify for the GRP.
Okay, so that's a fairly large investment for most South Africans. Are there, I guess, if you just wanted to move away from South Africa, what is the cheapest investment option available?
The very cheapest one would actually be obtaining residency in Malta. Now, Malta does have two separate programs. There's the investment through exceptional direct investment in the country through naturalization. You're eventually able to obtain citizenship. But then there's also the residency program. And that's actually the cheapest residency program in Europe. Because you, in terms of the financial requirement, there's a 40,000 euro application fee that is non-refundable and payable to the government. And the applicant is also required to either rent or purchase a property in Malta, and most people rent at 10,000 euros per annum for a period of 5 years. So that would obviously be 50,000 euros plus the 40,000 euro administration fee. And then there's also a requirement to donate 2,000 euros to a charity in Malta. And obviously, there's a few additional costs, like the residency permit fee. There's a five-year declaration fee. There's obviously a professional service fee for your service provider to assist you in obtaining that. But all in all, it is achievable for under 100,000 euros. And then if you are looking at the lowest investment threshold program to obtain citizenship, it is for a single applicant would be St. Lucia, and if it's a family of four, it would be Antigua and Barbuda.
I see.
And they are both at $100,000 each.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So definitely, it's clearly a very And this is why Henley & Partners exists. It's a complicated system. There's a lot of different options and a lot of different iterations. So listening to what you're saying, I would definitely engage with someone like with you guys, because I just can't see myself figuring out any of this stuff for myself. Or at least I would only have one option. Or I would do all the research and I would end up with three or four different ideas, but there might be better options just waiting in the wings that I'm just not even aware of.
Absolutely. And that is always my advice to people who are considering either relocating, immigrating, or just having a plan B in place, is to really consult with the experts. There's a lot of information out there available freely on the internet, and a lot of them are so outdated and are not being updated on a regular basis. So it really is important to consult with a firm that understands the industry and are in a position to find the best solution and not just have a bucket list, if one can call it that, of one or two products, and that's what they are trying to fund. But that is not what it is all about. It really is such a very big decision and a move for a family that you are needing to really understand all the options and have somebody that you can trust.
Right. How does your consultancy cost structure work?
So at Henley & Partners, we work on a flat fee structure, which is determined by program and obviously also then determined by the number of family members included in an application. Understandably, there's a lot less work to be done for a single application as in comparison with a family consisting of a spouse and four children and a grandmother and a grandfather. So then the other thing that is determining the service fee would be the complexity of the program. Some programs really does stretch over a period of 5 years. Some can be achieved within 6 months, some even 36 months. It really depends on which country and program. And based on that, we would have a flat fee. And that can be anything between $10,000 up until $50,000 or even more, considering or depending on which country they are applying.
I see. And is your process to do an initial interview and then you give them, because I've experienced this, or at least I've chatted to someone about financial immigration, and their structure is we do an interview, we tell you about the possibilities, and then if you say yes, that's when it starts costing. But until that point, it's just a free consultation. Or how do you work?
That's absolutely true. So yes, we do not charge any fees for our consultations. And the very first step would always be for us to meet with the client to understand their structure and what they want to achieve. And then obviously the consultation process starts. And for some, it could, you know, it can be one consultation and the client knows what they want to do. With some clients, we consult for more than 2, 3, 4 years before they've finally decided and are ready to make a move or to make the investment. And only at the point where a client says, I'm ready, I would like to start with my process, then the first thing that Henley & Partners would do is to conduct initial due diligence. We obviously need to ensure that from a reputational risk point of view, Henley & Partners are assisting people that come from a good and clean personal and professional background. And then obviously, equally, we need to ensure that by the time we submit that client's application to the respective government, that there would be absolutely no reason for the client not to be approved. And then once we've conducted our due diligence checks, then the client would typically enter into a client agreement, and only at that point would there be fees payable. And that will obviously enable us to then assist them and start the entire application process.
Sure. So I first came across Henley & Partners because an ex-colleague of mine posted your residence index on LinkedIn. So you've got a global residence program index, which rates essentially the various residence programs and also citizenship programs. But let's talk residence, I think, because that sounds like a more of a first step. But I'm here on your website on the top 10 here, and we've got, it starts with reputation, Australia, New Zealand, Switzerland, Austria, Canada, Dubai, Singapore, South Korea, and so on. But then you also rate for quality of life, tax, visa-free or visa on arrival access, processing time, compliance, investment requirements, total cost, time to citizenship and citizenship requirements. All of these metrics, all of these ratings are available on your website. If you just Google Henley & Partners citizenship or residence index, I'm sure you'll find it. Is there a clear winner overall for you? What's your first thought when someone says, I'd like to immigrate to, let's say, Europe?
Look, if we talk about residency by investment, then definitely number one would be the Portugal program. Mm-hmm. And secondly, in terms of investment options, Greece is very popular as well. And then thirdly, I would say it would be Malta. And those would be the three main ones. And then it really does take into consideration many factors, one being quality of life, being stability of the country. There's a lot of tax considerations that needs to be taken. People need to really think about that. And then obviously looking at the investment threshold itself and the ultimate processing time. But a very important factor for many of our clients is the actual residency requirements, because not everyone applying for this is looking to immigrate. They would like to have a safe alternative option in place, but they don't want to spend too much time there. Well, definitely not initially. It come at a later stage.
Sure. And outside of the European zone, what are the most popular destinations for investments?
Outside is definitely Australia. It has always been a very popular immigration destination, if one can call it that.
Sure.
There are many South Africans looking at obtaining residency in Canada, the United States, and then obviously the United Kingdom. And I can say that because it's no longer part of the European Union. It's completely standing alone. And then there are a variety of Caribbean programs that are extremely popular for South Africans.
So I have noticed that the Caribbean countries do have quite a number of programs as well. Is there anything in the Asian or South American areas that spring to mind as good options?
There are a number of residency options in Asia. Singapore, for example, Hong Kong, Malaysia. There's a wonderful program in Thailand available, and actually not costing a lot either. But from a South African perspective, we're not getting a lot of inquiries or applications for those areas. But of course, other areas within our business, for them, those destinations are important. We've got a 4-hour flight from Johannesburg to Mauritius, so that obviously is a very attractive alternative resident destination.
Do you think there's some value in a possible client doing a ton of research before coming to you, or do you think it's more efficient to actually just approach an expert and have the conversation?
It's definitely much more effective and advisable for clients to not do research beforehand. There's a lot of information out there, and it really does confuse people. It's almost like when you feel sick and you go to Dr. Google and you end up always having cancer.
Yeah. Definitely got brain cancer, yeah.
So it's always best to just come to an expert, and we will be able to advise you on all the requirements, and it's always up to date so that you have a true and honest understanding of what the requirements are.
Awesome. Great. It sounds to me, or what I'm taking out of the interview, is that one, it's an expensive exercise. You do need to be in a certain kind of net worth category here to think about this program. There are more accessible options. As you said, it sounds like you can get into Malta for about 100,000 euros, which is still no small amount of money. Absolutely. So if you're not in those kind of wealth categories, then you're still looking at finding a job, you're looking at ancestral visas, you're looking at those options. But it is interesting to hear what's available. And it's obviously Portugal, in terms of Europe, is still that golden ticket, but there are other options that Helion Partners or other experts can definitely inform you on. So Amanda, thank you so much for sharing that your expertise with us. I think I, for one, am very much more educated about the whole process, and I hope everyone else is too.
Most welcome. Thank you very much.
Chat to you later.
South African Expats is produced by Jonathan Varnker and brought to you by Ping Productions.